With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
This is a Football Friday edition of Dirt and Sprague.
There's glory in the legends of this hard muscle life. And there's poetry in each season made of sweat and strife.
Dirt and Sprague on Football Friday.
Driven by Gresham Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. A short drive from anywhere. Visit dodgeofgresham.com.
All I know is, you mess with me, you got problems.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
Let's do this. Final hour, Dirt and Sprague on a Friday. Hope your Fridays are going well right here on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. You can give us a follow on Twitter at Dirt and Sprague. We will follow you back.
This is why we've never been on television.
You got to turn your mic on there.
Well, nobody's on television now. So yeah, I guess we're all ugly now, huh?
We're all the ugly show. We got the lights off today. Feels
guess
great.
The joke's on us.
That's right. Yeah, I had a little travel gas. That's all.
Shut up. You're such a jerk. I wasn't even going to say anything.
Welcoming spring. Hey, it's good to have you back, isn't it?
No, it's not. This is horrible. I'm talking through my shirt into the microphone.
That's not that bad.
No, it is. It smelled bad. Like you pulled your pants down and tried to give me pink eye, if we're being really honest.
Hey, sometimes you can't hold it, man. It's not good for the system, causes problems. Yeah, it's long term. It's not the answer.
I would never be one to sit here and tell you I don't do this. I do this quite often, but I don't feel like mine travel like yours.
Yeah, mine linger. I have a lingering aspect to mine. It's hard, you know, it kind of sticks in your clothes a little bit.
It sticks in your nose.
It's like it's right on your upper lip. It's like a stinky mustache.
Well, and Dirt's really good at doing this, like when it happens, he doesn't say anything, and then right as you smell it, he goes, hey, man, there might be some, there might be a weird smell here soon.
Sorry. Heads
like,
up.
This happened a week and a half ago. You did this, and you didn't say anything, and all of a sudden, I was like,
whoa,
dude, did you fart? And you go, oh, yeah, I've been farting all day. And it was horrible.
Hey, I won't deny it, but yeah. So next 10 minutes could be rough. Sprague's going to talk through his T-shirt. Welcome back in. We'll get to the Oregon Boise State game at some point this hour. We already got some Sprague and the Line sponsors coming in. We'll do that coming up at 2:30. I do want to stick in the NFL, though. Focus really on three other games that caught my eye. Just so much on the line in all three of these. And I want to start with the first one. I was out in Charlotte this past week. I actually stopped by Bank of America Stadium. Did not see Cam Newton, tell him he's a douchebag, unfortunately. But Panthers and Packers are playing. Aaron Rodgers is back. And I know you did a segment on that while I was gone of just what's going to happen with Green Bay now that they have their guy back. And Carolina, a team you can't forget about. I mean, they've had some bad losses, some questionable performances this year, no doubt about it. And then they come out and do what they did last weekend. It felt like the Vikings were unbeatable, the way that they were playing and the winning streak that they were on. Defensively, they were great. Jonathan Stewart opened it up in the running game. Cam Newton had a big game with his legs. They find a way to beat Minnesota to solidify their chances of making the playoffs. So you got Aaron Rodgers coming back, and he's going against a really tough Panthers team right now.
Yeah, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing what Rodgers is coming off of that injury. But as I've kind of pointed out with Rodgers in returning, like Aaron Rodgers is he's a game changer 99.9% of the time. I just think that this next three-game stretch is just it's the 0.01%. I don't know how he is going to get through off of that injury.
You got Carolina on the road, home against Minnesota, and then at Detroit.
You're facing three teams that are playing for their playoff lives, and if Detroit gets knocked out of that race by the end of the season, I don't think that's a team that rolls over. I think they want to do everything in their power to knock as many teams as they can out. Back-to-back defenses of Carolina and Minnesota is not something I would be ecstatic about if I'm Aaron Rodgers. I know he just wants to be out there. He wants to help his team be a playoff team. I just don't buy there's a 3-0 stretch here. They can't lose another game. They lose seven games, they're out. You're not getting in with a 7-loss record. I think at best they're 2-1, and that's me being pretty nice. I think they're more 1-2.
Well, I think this weekend will be the telling game. If they can go on the road and beat Carolina, that changes my mind a little bit because I do think Detroit's beatable for them. And the tough one will be Minnesota, their sandwich between the two. But you look at the playoff picture right now. You have the bottom seed in Atlanta's at 8-5, and they play Tampa Bay this week. That's the Monday night game. So that's a game. I mean, look, Atlanta's lost some questionable games, no doubt. That's one you kind of circle and say they can win and get to 9 wins, and that's why it's tough. Seattle's on the outside looking in. Detroit's there on the outside looking in. And then Green Bay sitting at 7-6. So I like the idea of if Green Bay makes the playoffs, they're as dangerous as anybody, especially with the injury to Carson Wentz. I would be terrified of having to face Aaron Rodgers in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. The difficult part is, can they get in? And the schedule does not line up well for them. But that's one just to have your eye on, because Carolina's still playing for an NFC South title as well.
You know, I'm also just not an individual that's willing to die with every opinion that I give. If they get through the stretch and they make it in, I will change my thought on Aaron Rodgers and the Packers.
Yeah, I mean, if they somehow go like 3-0 and he plays well these next 3 weeks, yes. I'm not picking anybody to beat them. They were my favorite to begin the year. He goes down. You think that they're done. Here they are at 7-6. Well, they went out, go 10-6. He beats those three teams to close out the year. Yeah, good luck beating them in the playoffs.
Being on the road to me doesn't matter. It's still Aaron Rodgers no matter where he's at. And even though the other quarterbacks don't correlate with the outcome against Rodgers himself, you'd be looking at Rodgers versus Foles, Rodgers versus Keenum,
yeah.
Rodgers versus Goff.
Jared Goff, right.
Rodgers maybe versus Ryan, Newton. Like, you'd stack that up, Wilson, and I still think everybody would take Rodgers in those scenarios, and it would leave you in kind of a frightening situation if you were one of those teams.
Yeah, really. Well, one of the other big games of the NFC this weekend, you can hear it right here on The Fan, is a huge one in the NFC West. As we already know, they played one. Seattle beat them down in L.A. Now they get them back in Seattle, where you got the Rams fresh off a loss to Philly, which was a great ball game, by the way. How about that shootout on Sunday in L.A.? That was fantastic.
Good game.
And then you had Seattle go on the road. A lot of shenanigans late in that ball game. They couldn't get the offense going early, playing against a great defense in Jacksonville, which is why I picked the Jaguars, and they lost. So you got Seattle on the outside looking in on the playoff picture, but the crazy thing is they win this weekend. They're the inside track to win the division because they would have both head-to-head wins over the Rams. They would have the same record as the Rams, which would vault them from the 7th seed in the NFC all the way up to the 3 or the 4 seed, depending on what happens, I guess, with New Orleans this weekend. But you have Seattle and LA. And the one thing I'll say about this, like, I know my gut is telling me to take the Rams in this ballgame because of the injuries that have piled up for Seattle.
Okay.
And they got them even more on the defensive side now, and you're basically putting it all in the hands of Russell Wilson. Jared Goff playing in Seattle terrifies me. That's a scary notion for me of a young quarterback going on the road late in the season, probably going to be bad weather, and having to find a way to win in Seattle. It's just not easy to do that for a quarterback that's maybe not ready for a moment like that.
Yeah, your best case scenario is the weather continues to be what it's mainly been in this region, sunny and cold. And if that happens, eventually the sun's obviously going to go away. The only thing you have to deal with is the cold, which some quarterbacks can't throw in the cold, but we're not really sure what Jared Goff is in different weather environments. I like the follow-up factor for McVay. You know, they lost that game to the Vikings. I thought they responded really well, where some people thought, oh, is this where the Rams, it kind of fails on them a little bit. This matchup's really interesting. Like, Seahawk fan, how does Seahawk fan feel about this? Because if you follow anybody from Seattle, and I'm pointing the fingers at Seahawk honk up there, they were tweeting about how they thought it was going to be a blowout in Jacksonville.
They were very confident after beating Philly.
We're back. They beat Philly on Sunday Night Football, and it was, we're back. Here we go. We're going to beat Jacksonville. We're going to blow them out. And you got handed a loss and then had to end the game with incredibly poor sportsmanship. And now you're sitting there going, well, you're playing for the division. You're still playing for your playoff lives. Can you beat this Rams team? They did a great job in October in LA.
That they did.
But that was basically a home game for them. I was there. Seahawk fan traveled extremely well.
And the Rams had a chance there at the end.
Cooper Kupp dropped a pass that I think he catches 9 out of 10 times. It's a different situation. You can't take that away from him. But I don't know where Seahawk fan is on this team right now.
Yeah, my gut tells me Rams, there's just always the concern of Russell Wilson at home. It just feels like he does. I mean, I know Atlanta went in and beat him a couple weeks back, but they found a way to beat Philly. They went on the road to Jacksonville. Now they're back at home. Excuse me. And that's a huge one in the NFC West playoff picture, wild card picture as well, because if Seattle loses this weekend, you sit at 8-6 with Atlanta likely winning. You got the chance for the Packers to get to 8 wins, the chance for probably Detroit to get to 8 wins if they beat Chicago as they should on Saturday. That becomes a really murky NFC playoff picture in the wild card spots for Seattle if they can't win this weekend. Ton on the line for them.
For this season, comparing the two, because we do that sometimes in this area, in comparing the NFL with college football, the NFL had some duds early on.
It did.
It's been really good for like a month
and a half.
It's
heated up now the last couple of weeks.
And this weekend, I think, is going to be the cherry on top of that, where you'll still have wild card races. But for the most part, you're going to get a lot of things answered after this weekend.
You will. And then in the AFC, I mean, it feels like, for me at least, I don't know if you guys agree, it feels like it's Pittsburgh, New England, and that's it. I'm not really giving anybody else a chance. Maybe somebody else comes out of the woodwork, Jacksonville's defense.
So I talked about this. Let me get your thoughts.
What do you got?
I talked about Jacksonville and how they're a weird team to trust. And then I looked up numbers over the weekend after they beat Seattle. They are the number one defense.
They're dominant defensively.
They're the number one rushing offense. And you know whose numbers Blake Bortles is just like? Ben Roethlisberger's second year when the Steelers won the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Do you trust him? Do you trust him in the playoffs, though?
I don't know.
Can they go on the road and beat New England? Can they go on the road and beat Pittsburgh? I know they did in the regular season, but that was a sore thumb game for the Steelers.
I would tell you that if you're saying Blake Bortles and Brady, I'm probably taking Brady. Blake Bortles on the road in Pittsburgh, I'm probably taking Pittsburgh. But if Pittsburgh beats New England and then Jacksonville wins out, Jacksonville will have the same record as New England, and they own the tiebreaker. They would get the bye.
That they do. That has to happen, though. We'll see. I mean, because that's the big game of the weekend, in my opinion, is Pittsburgh and New England. I get why they didn't flex it. CBS wants that one. They want Romo and Nance on the call for that. But, so I mean, this is, in my opinion, at least, the AFC Championship preview. And you mentioned the tiebreaker scenarios, and New England could fall out of it, maybe a home field advantage or a first-round bye if they lose this weekend. And if they're able to win, though, they get to 11-3. Pittsburgh's 11-3. So you have home field advantage on the line for what, in my opinion, will end up being the AFC title game, because the team that wins this has the inside track at getting that.
I don't want to completely count it out because I'm hopeful as a sports fan. It does feel like it's Pittsburgh-New England on that collision course for the AFC. But if L.A. wins this win against Kansas City, I think people are going to be feeling decent about their chances of maybe an upset and being the red-hot team. And then Jacksonville. I'm willing to give Jacksonville a little, like, yeah, maybe there is a chance for them.
Yeah. Great weekend in the NFL, man. I can't wait. Last weekend was awesome. I know we had another just terrible injury, but the one thing it did is it really made the NFC playoff picture fascinating, because Minnesota, your favorite at this point, they just went on the road and lost to Carolina. I'd still give them that label at this point, but you got Rodgers in the mix, Drew Brees still there with New Orleans. And then in the AFC, you got Kansas City and LA fighting for the AFC West. You got the Jaguars playing good. The Titans are still in the picture. And then maybe the matchup of the AFC Championship game with home field advantage on the line between Pittsburgh and New England. It's going to be a good one in the NFL, and I cannot wait. It starts on Saturday, ends on Sunday. We'll get to Sprague on the line, bottom of the hour. Get your fake sponsors ready. Send them in 55305. I'm going to give a segment to the Las Vegas Bowl, though. As Mario Cristobal officially going to coach his first game as a head coach at Oregon, what do you want to see from him, and how do you think that one plays out? 55305. Talk Vegas Bowl next on 1080 The Fan. Hey, we'll spread the line coming up, bottom of the hour. Get your fake sponsors in, 55305. Already got some good ones rolling in.
We're spreading the line really hard today.
Oh, did we not usually spread the line hard?
Oh, no, we're really going to spray it.
Okay.
We're going more than three picks.
Did Viking fan call you out for the reverse jinx?
I think one Viking fan.
A little bit.
Like, I think sarcastically was like, thanks a lot.
I sarcastically took Carolina for that reason in the pick'em. And it panned out for me well. So I quite appreciated that. Thank you for that. So we'll spring a line coming up bottom of the hour.
When Stewart went off like that 70-yard run, I go, yeah, I did it.
Uh-oh.
I did it.
The Sprague jinx, the reverse jinx is back. Remember, what was the bet you lost the reverse jinx on? We said we wouldn't call it against you for a while. Maybe it was the Cubs or something.
Mm.
But we gave you a brief hiatus of not having the Sprague jinx around. But now I feel like it's firmly back. You won a bet of some sort, and that was your only asking price was, if I win this, I get it right, the Sprague reverse jinx goes away.
And I won it, didn't I?
You did, and I can't remember what it was for the life of me.
I can't either.
But you hit on that one, but I think it's safe to say that one's back. So we'll spring line, get your sponsors in, 55305. But we got the bowl season officially beginning tomorrow. If you're in a bowl pool, you're probably excited. If not, the bowl season probably doesn't do a ton for you. That's just the way it is for some folks. The wrap-up of the college football season. Ironically, though, we do have a local tie-in, and in my opinion, a pretty interesting ball game almost to kick things off, and that is the Las Vegas Bowl, because you have Oregon in their first game after the Willie Taggart brief era, Mario Cristobal coaching his first game, and all of that added into the fact that they're playing, in my opinion, a pretty good Boise State team, a team that's ranked in the top 25, a team that won their conference, a team that won 10 games this year. So you got 7-5 Oregon taking on number 25 Boise State, and that is a pretty darn good way to start the intriguing bowl games, because every game before that is a dud. You got Troy, North Texas, and Western Kentucky, Georgia State, leading up to Oregon and Boise State. Sign me up. I can't wait to watch this one tomorrow.
Yeah, you know what? I think actually for the Royce Freeman conversation, and that news broke, I think, towards the tail end of our show, that he wasn't going to play. He announced he wasn't going to play.
Any hot takes out there calling out Royce Freeman?
No.
God, I hope not.
Every Duck fan on the text line, every Duck fan I saw on Facebook and Twitter, all supportive. Thank you, everything, for Royce. And that was my message, too. It wasn't any different than how I felt about McCaffrey or Fournette. And I think your program greatly benefits more when you put a player in the NFL and maybe they have a lengthy career. It makes your university look better than saying, oh, he was there to help us get our eighth win in a Vegas Bowl. We won't remember 10 years from now. But I actually think the news this morning was bigger and more important, that Tyrell Crosby is going to play. He's a Vegas kid. He's going to wear number 58 in honor of the victims from the Vegas shooting. Mm-hmm. And he's really stoked about going out there. Now, you mentioned the good matchup. I do think this is a good matchup. Boise State is no slouch. They should have won 11 games because they shouldn't have lost to Washington State.
Remember that one? They cooged it.
Tyler Helinski came back, and Luke Falk got benched and slash hurt. And they came all the way back and beat Boise State. So they should have finished better. But we don't know anything about Cristobal Ball as a head coach on the Power 5 level in this conference. I'm not even sure I'm going to take much away from this game, win or lose, going into next season. What I do know is they have Justin Herbert. They have Crosby fired up, ready to play. And for the most part, this team is stoked. This team was abandoned by Willie Taggart. They've been dealing with recruiting backlash from some of the decommits and just of like, I'm not really into it. I don't want to play for anybody else but Willie Taggart. I think they're going to be fired up for this one. And Boise State, although a good program, this is not Chris Peterson Boise State. This is not the Boise State that comes in and they put the fear of God in you because this is their Super Bowl and it's the only game they care about. I think Oregon has better horses. And I think they have the talent to overcome losing a Royce Freeman for a game because of Herbert. Levitt is still there as the DC. I really like Oregon's chances in this one. Harsin does not frighten me the way that Chris Peterson once did.
Yeah, I'm all over Oregon minus the 7 in this ballgame. I really am, for a lot of the reasons you highlighted. But I do believe they're going to be playing that middle finger to Willie Taggart kind of ballgame of you abandon us. It's like when you get dumped by somebody and you want to spend the next couple of months in the gym to make sure if you run across them, you look really good. I think Oregon's going to try and have that kind of ball game tomorrow. And you got Justin Herbert with a couple of more weeks to get healthy after the Civil War. As Phil Steele told us, their defense actually grades out better than Boise State's this year, which is a bonus. And losing Royce Freeman, that's a tough blow. I mean, he's one of the best running backs in program history. He was a lock almost every single week, it felt like, to go for 100 yards and just be the bell cow of this offense. But if there's any position you could afford to lose a guy, it's probably that position because you can go with Kanoy Benoit playing in his last game.
Tony Vegas Brooks line James. Hasn't moved whatsoever.
Right. Taj Griffin still going to be around. So you got other guys you can hand the ball to. And Crosby being there on the left side, that's where you're going to run the ball to. There was a site that did a statistical analysis of Royce Freeman saying, you know, he really found his groove running to the left side this year. And a friend of the show, Tyson Alger, had a funny tweet. Does anybody want to tell him it? Crosby's on the left side of the line. That's probably why he ran the ball so well to that side of the line of scrimmage. So he's still going to be around, and I don't see a big drop-off coming. And I think even on top of that, you have a team that didn't make a bowl game last year. There's a factor there for me. I mean, this was 4-8. It's the first time they didn't go to a bowl game in a long time. And now you're back. You get a chance to go play one more game, send the seniors out on a high note, and give a middle finger to the coach that left you at the altar and dumped you after only one season. The big concern with bowl games is how motivated is your team going to be? Do they want to be there? Are they engaged with their opponent? And there's a lot of times you have that concern. And Oregon, the last time they were in Vegas, is the prime example of it going the wrong way. When they played BYU, they had nothing to play for. The morale wasn't great in the locker room, and they got absolutely ran off the field. I see the opposite going on. I'm all over Oregon minus a 7. I think they play one of their best games of the year tomorrow, and they blow the doors off of Boise State.
Well, and again, just my point on that is like Freeman and how great he was at Oregon, because he really was just the most model 4-star kid you could ever want to come into your program and do what he did for 4 years, coming back from last year and doing what he did. The line didn't move. You know, just for reference sake, take a player like Saquon Barkley or Bryce Love on Stanford.
Yeah, they say they're not playing or they're out.
The lines will change. And whether it's drastic, they're still changing nonetheless. This didn't move at all. Tyrell Crosby would make me second guess this a little bit.
That's a big hole to plug. Yeah.
Boise State's defense rush-wise is pretty good. They're I think they're top 20 in the country. And I wanted to look back just to see what they did against teams. Like San Diego State's a good example. San Diego State is a decent rush offense, and they beat up on San Diego State earlier this season. San Diego State averaged 252 yards per game on the ground. Boise State held them to 83. But this is where the Crosbys of the world pay dividends. Yeah. The Justin Herberts of the world pay dividends. If it is slowed up or taken away from you in the first half, I think you have what it takes to push the ball through the air. This is Marcus Arroyo's offense now. Hopkins was on Tuesday Dirt. He said that Arroyo is going to open it up more through the air than we have seen at Oregon in a while. I think that's an exciting thing. And it tells you that if you do get slowed down a little bit on the ground, Oregon is going to be able to move the ball through the air.
Yeah. Two last things on this one. I did want to address the Royce Freeman stuff. if you have an issue with him not playing this last game, I think you need to kind of reprioritize what's important to you in your life. And this kid gave 4 years to the university. He came back. I know his draft stock wasn't great last year, but he decided to come back and go through another year of wear and tear on his body instead of giving it a chance in the NFL. He trusted the new coaching staff to give them a year. He had a monstrous year. One of the best backs statistically, not only in Oregon history, but Pac-12 history. Really, as you mentioned, I mean, the model kid that you could ask for. He was great on the field, great off the field, never got in trouble, always got, you know, the student that you want somebody to be, represented the university well. I can't speak any higher of Royce Freeman. I think he's one of the best to ever do it in Eugene. Probably one of the more underrated backs we've ever seen come out of Oregon, because a lot of the other guys had more flash, more outspoken. He just went out and did his job. Like he was one of those guys that you would have 100 yards in the third quarter and you'd look up, be like, oh, how about that? He's got 100 yards. And none of the runs would really stick out to you that much. He was just always efficient and consistent with what he did.
You could gauge this probably better than me because you have more friends that are Duck fans. Is this an exciting thing for a Duck fan, this bowl game?
I do think it is.
Okay.
Because of the coaching hire. I think you want to, if Crystal Ball comes out and he you know, wins by 21 points over a top 25 team, I think that solidifies some opinions for people. I think there's some folks on the edge of, did you like it? Did you not? Could you have gotten better? Not that this is going to be the end-all be-all. If they beat Boise, it means they're going to win 11 games next year, but it would at least settle everybody down going into the offseason and going into that signing day. And that was the other thing I wanted to address, too, is, you know, our friend of the show here on The Fan, Andrew Nimick, reporting he thinks Devin Williams is going to commit to Oregon. He's a 5-star wide receiver kid. And I was told a couple days ago that he's not taking any other visits this weekend. I believe he's going to the Vegas Bowl just to see what Crystal Ball's like as a head coach.
And well, then, that's got to be a done
and
deal.
And then people
then, right?
expect him to commit, which should be big because they've lost some receiver commits. Coda didn't pick him. They got a chance to get a 5-star kid, big kid in Devin Williams, which would be a huge hit for Crystal Ball and re-up those recruiting rankings. So Vegas Bowl tomorrow, 12:30, Oregon and Boise State. You can see it on ABC. And one last note on this, the broadcasting crew. You got the A crew for this game. I believe it's Fowler and Herb Street.
Oh, really?
You got Fowler and Herb
Street.
For
the Vegas Bowl.
For the Vegas Bowl.
You think they...
There's the tie-in right there.
You think they were asking, hey, can we go to the Vegas Bowl? Can we call that game?
Let's go to Vegas.
I got a lot of interest in Oregon, Boise State.
Maybe the Rock's walking around on the sidelines, just throwing it out there.
It would be so badass if he came out at halftime.
If you smell
what the Ducks are cooking.
God, that would be awesome. So Vegas Bowl tomorrow, Boise State, Oregon. We'll see. You can go vote on that poll question. Do you like the Ducks -7 or do you think Boise State can cover? I'm taking them to win and cover the spread. All right, let's Sprague the line. Who's Sprague losing money on this weekend? Send your sponsors in 55305. We'll do it next.
Sprague in the line.
Sprague in the line.
Sprague in the line.
Sprague in the line.
Hey, Sprague in the line brought to you by Herm Edwards. You mean I actually have to coach now? No, thanks. I'm going back to ESPN.
I guarantee that was his first thought this morning.
Wait, what? I didn't sign up for this. Sprague in the Line, sponsored by Net Neutrality. I don't quite understand it, much like how Sprague doesn't know how or what a good pick is.
Hey, 5-3-1 the last 3 weeks.
I love that last 3-week line. That's great. You're such a jerk. Sprague in the Line, sponsored by Dirt's Vacation Home. When your heart is in Charleston, but your budget is in Milwaukee. Probably
I like
not,
it.
Probably not best to use Sprague's picks.
Am I holding you back from going to your dream town?
It's valid, man. I've been trying to win money to move to Charleston. You keep losing me money this year.
We have parlayed together and it has not gone well.
Yeah, we had. We're like 0-9. Sprague in the Line, sponsored by Derek Jeter's gift basket. When the Marlins trade you, at least you get a signed baseball. about that? I did like, you see, Old Takes Exposed found tweets of both Marcell Ozuna and Giancarlo Stanton. I believe Christian Yelich as well, all tweeting positive things about Derek Jeter. And then he sends them all out of town.
Did you see Stanton's comments?
Yeah.
He just destroyed that team.
That he did. Sprague Line, sponsored by Forever 21, supplying Sprague with his super casual holiday wardrobe for his super casual terrible picks.
Yeah, but those t-shirts are nice.
Sprague Line, sponsored by Dirt's Toilet Fragrance, Taco Bell Musk, the only thing that could cover the stench of Sprague's picks.
We have like a big Taco Bell sound, like...
Dong, dong. Sprague Line, sponsored by ASU, selling raffle tickets now to see who wants to be the next head coach.
You should have asked that first.
Line.
You know about the Herm Edwards thing? It's like people talk about Herm Edwards. Oh, I think he could be a good candidate. Good job. He sucked when he coached. Those were not good teams. Do you remember Herm Edwards?
You play to win the game. Spring Line, sponsored by Boise State, upsetting the Ducks since 2008, getting punched in the face since 2009. Still
Don't
better than Sprague's picks. Spring Line, sponsored by Long Pacific Northwest winners, so dreary, but not as dreary as Sprague's picks. Oh, that's kind of depressing. Spring Line, sponsored by Sprague picking the Ducks. Boise is officially a lock to win now. Thanks, Sprague. And one last one here. Sprague Line, sponsored by Willie Taggart, bailing from Oregon faster than someone who followed Sprague's betting advice. So there we go. Sprague, where are we going this weekend?
We're actually going to go to fabulous Las Vegas, where right now it sits Oregon -7 against Boise State. Hopefully it's a good game, but this one opened at 5 to 5.5, depending on what book you looked at. It's up to 7 now.
Yep.
Boise State has a history of playing well in these games. And when they get these opportunities, they take full advantage. We've seen that time and time again. There's no Royce Freeman for Oregon. Can they be all right with that? We will find out. But none of those things scare me off in this one. Again, Brian Harsin is not Chris Peterson, which doesn't put a fear in you like it did when Peterson was there. I'm going to buy this down a half point to save my ass, and I think the Ducks are going to take care of business, but I want to be sure of it. So I'm going to take it down to a 6.5-point line. Give me the Ducks -6.5 in this one.
Yeah, that was one thing some gambling folks were saying, is wait as long as you can to put money on that one, because without Royce Freeman, there's a chance maybe it slips down just a tad to under 7 points and you wouldn't have to buy that half a point. Something to keep an eye on if you're laying money on this game.
Yep, I would absolutely recommend that as well. My second pick, so there's my college football bowl pick. I'm going to go back to the NFL. We got some big games this weekend, and I'm going to go to one game that's big for one team, from the sheer standpoint of they're still hoping for the playoffs, and that's Oakland versus Dallas. And right now, that's Dallas -3. If you watched the Dallas Giant game last weekend, that thing was tied at 10. Now, eventually, Dallas went off and blew the Giants out and took care of business. They play the Raiders this weekend, who are coming off a loss against the Chiefs, and I think Dallas is still in the playoff hunt. I personally don't think they make it, but they're still in it, and they're going to win this game. By more than 3. They have the horses to go against the Raiders and put points on the board. I don't think the Raiders are a good team whatsoever. I'm going to take Dallas -3.
That's one of those things this year. I mean, some of the young quarterbacks have gotten a lot of attention for bad years. I know you spent some time on Mariota earlier this week for the way he looked this past weekend. What in the world's going on with Derek Carr? For a guy that was... I mean,
they fired former Duck Musgrave.
It just shows you how important coaching is for all these guys. A guy that had a big year 3, signed the long-term contract extension. You think you found your franchise guy. I still believe he is. But man, it's been a rough year in that first contract with some injuries for Derek Carr.
Yeah. The next game I'm going to go to is actually a... it's going to be considered a little bit of an upset based on record, but it's not an upset to Vegas. And I think Vegas has this right. Tennessee on the road at San Francisco. Tennessee is not a good team. I've been saying this for weeks now. I picked them last weekend. I picked against them last weekend against the Cardinals. And I was right, because they straight up lost that game in Arizona. Something's not right with Marcus Mariota, whether that's confidence, whether it's an injury, whether it's Mike Mularkey. There's something amiss with Mariota this year. Tennessee's not good. Jimmy G is undefeated. Give me the Niners -1.5 to beat Tennessee.
Ooh, 3 in a row for the Niners, huh? Why do you got to be such a Duck hater the whole time, man?
I know, I'm picking DeForest Buckner's team. I'm sorry that I hate the Oregon Ducks.
Hating on the Ducks. It's all you ever do, man.
The next game, I've got 2 more picks here.
Jeez, you're going 5?
Yeah, we're going mega Spragan.
All right, keep going.
New England and Pittsburgh. this is going to be a good game. Like, I think this is going to come right down to the end. Pittsburgh is a dog at home, +3.5. I'm going to get a half point here, and I'm going to take Pittsburgh, excuse me, +3.5.
Sizzler. 3.5.
I think if New England wins, they win by a field goal.
Yeah, that was one of the more surprising outcomes to me for the season, was the Miami-New England Monday night game. I didn't see that coming in a
just
million years.
Just a straight dud.
They were, what, 0-11 on third down? They hadn't done that since like 1990-something. That was, nobody saw that coming. That's the only terrifying thing for me is New England coming off a loss.
Oh, hey, I think New England's going to win this game, but I think it's a field goal game. I think Pittsburgh can move the ball, and it's going to come down to the end. So give me Pittsburgh +3.5. And then finally, I'm going to go to Seattle, LA Rams, Seattle Seahawks matchup. I'm stoked for this one. Can Jared Goff do it on the road? What's Russell Wilson going to be able to do? Does Bobby Wagner play? Michael Bennett's response to being called the dirty player all week.
Mm-hmm.
The division. There's a lot of things on the line here. And I can't wait to watch it. My gut is the same gut that you've had in terms of feel. I just like the Rams, and I can't explain it other than just the feel that I have with this. This game in October, which I was at in L.A., was really close, back and forth. Cooper Kupp dropped a key crucial pass that would have given them the game. I think L.A. goes to Seattle. I like them as a +2.5 underdog to win this game outright.
Okay, there you go. There's the five picks for Sprague and the Lion. We got the Ducks -6.5 tomorrow in the Vegas Bowl. Cowboys -3 this weekend against the Raiders. You're taking the 49ers. How about that? -1.5 against the Titans. Pittsburgh +3.5 against New England. And the Rams on the road in Seattle +2.5 to go out and get that win. Sprague and the Lion brought to you by Santa. You're on the naughty list. Spray and Line brought to you by Dirt.
Oh. You're naughty.
Spray and Line brought to you by Dirt. Damn it, he's back. Hey, ouch, man. Come on.
It's all right. Most people were begging for you to be back when Crystal Ball got hired.
Oh, I know the Duck fans were. There you go. More Beaver Homer picks from Sprague. We did have Ben tweet us, by the way, and say, can you please pick against the Vikings? You're not picking the Vikings this week. You're leaving them out, which I quite enjoyed.
I'll tell you right now, though, I like the Vikings' chances to win.
Don't do it to him.
What?
Don't do it to him. I like their chances to lose again.
Don't blame me. Blame Case Keenum.
Somebody texted, thanks for picking the Rams and Patriots to win this weekend, Sprague. I can comfortably sit back and watch them lose now.
So, I didn't pick the Patriots.
You said you like them to win. You're taking the Steelers to cover. There's a difference there.
I'm taking the dog.
There's a difference there. So there you go. Sprague in the Line every Friday. Thanks for the sponsors. We always appreciate it. Hey, we'll close the show out with Nerk Fever's back. But does anybody care?
Nerd Fever!
No.
Next on the... Partying. There you go. Fist pumping your way into the weekend. That's how we do it every single Friday here on Dirt and Sprague. Isaac and Suit coming up top of the hour. Feels good to be back, man. It's always weird when you miss a week. It just feels like you get back and there's so much going on. It's hard for me to unplug. I don't have that capability with sports. Like, I know there was things that were tied into my team, the Stanton stuff was going on, and that didn't go my way, but it's hard, really hard for me to unplug from sports. Then when you see stuff, you have an opinion on it, and you want to share your opinion, I'm not good at that.
Well, one, it's good to have you back. I would have advised you to just take this day off.
A lot of people ask me that. Why are you working today? But I also will say it's kind of a good feeling to come to work on a Friday and then get, because it felt like a Monday all day today for me, coming back, and then I get the weekend after this.
I'm glad to have you back. I'm glad you didn't take the day off. I see what you're saying about the sports thing. Like, it's hard to unplug from sports. I think when your vacation's different, it's not. So if you went to visit family, you're on the road, you know, you're bored in a car, you're checking stuff.
Right.
Put you in Hawaii on a beach.
That's a little bit easier.
And I don't think you're caring about anything except for...
True.
Is my beer empty?
True. A little bit easier to unplug when you're in that setting. I'm with you there. Weird feeling all day coming back because it did feel like a Monday, but it's a Friday, so we're going into the weekend. I'll take it. One day work week's not bad. We'll be back full strength next week, and then Sprague's taking off for some vacation at the end of the week. Couple of stories I'm going to get to here before we get to the Blazers and the Magic, which is coming up here shortly from Orlando. I saw this today from Danny Moran in the Oregonian. Did you see the update about Seth Collins? So he was granted his release from the football team. He's going to transfer. Doesn't want to play there anymore.
Well, they just said he's been granted the release. That's all I saw.
That was it. Then today we come to find out that apparently he was also yesterday arraigned for, where did this go? A single charge of fourth degree assault. against a 19-year-old woman. He pleaded not guilty to the misdemeanor charge, which stemmed from an incident at a party that occurred 2 months ago, led to a suspension from the football team. The Beavers never announced the suspension publicly. He just kind of...
Shout out to my university for just being outstanding in the way that they handled that. Just
a little strange, right? Mess. A little strange. Yeah, they never announced it. They never said he was suspended. They never said what was going on. They just came out yesterday and said he's transferring. He was granted his release. Then came out the same day.
Well, and I might be off here, so Beaver fan that maybe more in tune, maybe you can correct me. I got to a point where I stopped being interested in my team. I thought he was out with the illness, and then I just thought that had kind of sidelined him for most of the rest of the year. I hadn't heard of suspension. I know the transfer kid, Johnson from TCU, the running back,
right?
He got suspended. I know that. I don't ever recall any announcement of a suspension for Seth Collins.
Neither do I.
Way to handle it, Oregon State.
Yeah, he was not arrested following the incident. It happened at a Corrales apartment complex early morning, Sunday, October 8th. In the document, they say Collins unlawfully and recklessly caused physical injury to the person. So he pled not guilty to it. Just another angle of the Seth Collins stories we thought we would point out to you. One other quick thing I wanted to get to, not that this is a surprise to anybody, but did you see Waze officially released its list of the worst traffic cities in America?
Mm.
And good for us, we are number 5, barely on their list.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Hooray! Number 5, we're the 5th worst traffic city in America. But
that
we're not gonna...
always throws me off, because I can't tell it's a drop.
Yeah, seems like it's a live hooray.
It does seem like it's a live hooray.
And I can't remember what the hooray stemmed from.
Something probably that wasn't that great of news.
What news story that
probably an Oregon State related thing that would get Swigard to say that.
Hooray. The only cities that are worse, apparently, were Los Angeles, San Diego. It was kind of, I didn't know San Diego was known for bad traffic. Jacksonville, Florida, and Honolulu.
Mm.
How is Seattle not on that?
Oh, Seattle.
Seattle's a nightmare.
Yeah, it is. They have like 6-lane roads too. It's even worse.
Yeah. So there you go. So that's happened in Portland, the 5th worst city. The best place to drive, if you're wondering, Greensboro, North Carolina, is the best place to drive.
Gotcha.
So if you want to move someplace and you don't like traffic, there you go. Greensboro, North Carolina is your place.
Can I give a quick shout out? Very
sure.
quick.
Sure,
we don't have to do the rest of the show because I know you want to ask a Blazer question.
That I do.
Thank you. Even though I was never the biggest fan, for everything the guy did in our industry, Mike Francesa. I know a lot
he's
of people.
He's done today, right?
This is his last
final show today.
He literally just said on his show, I'm seeing tweets from people, he said that he was the one that invented doing NFL pick segments.
Okay.
Even if that's true or not, I don't care. I know a lot of people don't like him. Thank you for everything you did in the industry, because without a Mike Francesa and the Mad Dog succeeding, this really does not take off how people think it does.
Yeah, that's true. He's a big player in that. We'll see. He still hasn't announced where he's going next. You got to keep your eye on that. But yeah, how about that? End of an era in New York. They already announced the replacement show too, by the way. That's all lined up.
It's a three-person show.
Three-person show. Yeah. But we do have some Blazer news to get to. Yusuf Nurkić is officially back, ladies and gentlemen. He is back. He's playing. He's going to be on a minutes restriction tonight in Orlando. And can I say this? I know you kind of did a segment on this while I was gone. And I, you know, it's hard. The time change is so crazy because these Blazers, like the Golden State game started at 10:30 in North Carolina.
Yeah, I'm passing on that.
I'm not going to watch a second of that ball game. I'm going to miss that one. Not that I missed anything anyways. Without two guys, they still got blown out. The apathy has really set in for me with this team. I have almost reached the point 30 games in where I don't really care anymore.
Hooray!
I have reached that point. I honestly have. Like, I saw the news, people, Nurk Fever, he's back, he's playing.
I was there 15 games ago.
I don't care.
I'm starting to get sucked into the college basketball season, partly because of my extracurricular activities, but partly because it's just a little bit more interesting right now in the NBA. I think the NBA, we kind of know what to expect come May and June.
He's going
to
be Golden State. So.
Okay.
I mean, I want to see Houston and Golden State go at it, and I want to see the...
We know the outcome.
Stop it.
I know
stop
how the movie's going to end.
Let's not bring the NBA into this
Darth Vader goes
of
to the
Blazers.
Dark side. He goes to the dark side. It's over. End of the movie.
The NBA has been a great season. The Blazers, however, absolute apathy. If you're not on Twitter, you're reading it right, because people on Twitter are nuts if they're acting like they care that much. This team is boring. There's something wrong with the roster. I'm just not interested. They do not rope me in.
It's bad, man. I've gotten there.
People are lying to themselves if you're really that interested. This team is not fun.
They're playing Orlando tonight, so maybe you can see Elfrid Payton's hair.
And they're literally in the worst position you could be in the NBA. Yeah.
They're not good enough, and they're not bad enough,
nope.
And they're going to stay exactly the
yep.
same as they've always
Let's get swept
been.
In the first round again.
Woohoo! All righty, there you go. If you missed it, Phil Steele was on the show for a half hour. Go check it out. A big preview of the college football playoffs, Pac-12 games, Oregon, all that stuff. Go
Star
catch it
Wars,
after the break.
Baby!
Sprague's going to Star Wars tonight. He's nerding out. Everybody else, hope you have a good weekend. Enjoy the bowl games tomorrow. Good to be back from vacation. We'll all be back together on Monday. Number one is next. You're listening to 1080 The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.